Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Carolus, good afternoon to you.
Hi there, how are you doing, my brother?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm greeting you from a very cold and wet town.
Oh, goodness, are you in Cape Town?
I am in Cape Town. And it's cold and it's wet.
My goodness. Well, we do want to wish you very warm days ahead. Well, but it's that time of the year. So if you could just keep warm and make sure that the heaters are on, eh?
Yeah, well, we thank God for the warmth of his love as well.
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, Pastor, this week you are going to be talking to us about self-love versus the love of self. And if you scroll on social media long enough, one will likely see one or more posts about loving oneself, taking care of oneself, pouring into oneself before pouring to others. But this week we will look at what it means from the biblical perspective, and you are going to be helping us navigate that space, Pastor. So before we start talking about self-love, let's have an understanding of what love is in general terms, according to the biblical understanding.
Yes, and I'm glad you're saying the biblical understanding, because there are many terms or words or phrases that require an explanation from the one asking the question before the respondent can answer. And the word love is not an exception here. You know, it can mean a few different things. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis distinguishes from what we also all know about the different kinds of love. The four different kinds of love. He speaks of the eros love, which is a romantic love, where lovers desire each other. Then there's also philos love, where lovers are good friends, and they share common goals, and they're drawn towards each other like a partnership. And then also there's storge love, where the object of the lover is a thing or animal. And then the one that I think you are referring to when you speak about the biblical definition of love is the fourth one, agape, which is a divine love, where the lovers model their love around God, who is love. So when you ask for a biblical definition of love, it helps greatly, as the one associated, the love associated with God is agape. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, we find a description of this kind of love.
Yeah.
It says both what love is and also what it is not. It states that love is patient, kind, not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, rejoices in truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It is this agape love is an everlasting love.
Now, is love a feeling that perhaps comes and it will go at some point and then come back and then goes?
Well, many are very quick to say, and many of many pastors and leaders in the church are quick to dismiss feelings when it comes to love. But I wouldn't dismiss it as a feeling, but I want to share it in this way. Also in another book called The Nature of True Virtue, Jonathan Edwards, was actually a Calvinist, also distinguishes between two loves. He speaks of love of benevolence,
okay,
and also love of complacency. And love of complacency would be more like, I love curry. I hope you do too, Tazama. Or place, I love Mauritius, for instance.
Mm-mm.
This kind of love is based on feeling.
I see.
The taste of curry pleases you, so you love it. The serenity or scenery of Mauritius is lovely, and therefore you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So love of complacency, in our terms, for the purposes of today, is a response to how something or someone or some place makes you feel at any given time or place.
Mm.
But the love of benevolence is more like your agape love. It is based on a principle. Yeah, love is not a feeling, but a principle. It is not based on a sensory experience, but rather on a principle from within. And Ellen White, in her book, Christ Object Lessons, page 449, says, love must be the principle of action. Love is the underlying principle of God's government in heaven and earth. And it must be the foundation of the Christian's character. So yes, love is not just a feeling, but it is more importantly an action and a choice. It is not a response based on how someone next to you makes you feel, or how food makes you feel or pleases you, but rather it is a principle which you live by, seeking the good of others. You know, feelings come and go. Not so with this kind of biblical love that we are discussing this week. Feelings may come and go, but this love perseveres, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. It does not give up. And Paul, in another letter which he writes to, very interesting, the Philadelphians, the Philippians, which... whose name is based on a certain kind of love, which is the philos love, the brotherly love. Paul writes to them and says that they must have the same kind of love, but then he doesn't use philos, he uses the word agape. And then he describes what that love looks like practically by saying, he says we must have the same love by putting the interests of others before our own. So this love is also a self-sacrificing love. It is a love that puts the salvific interest of the next person. So it is based on this principle that comes from within, that is a foundation, which means that love springs forth from within, not because of what someone, your neighbor or a thing like your curry or your sweet or your cake. It's not based on what an external person or thing has done, and now you're just loving because of the way it makes you feel. No, this kind of love, the love of benevolence, as Edwards puts it, the agape love that C.S. Lewis speaks of, and what Paul and Ellen White speak of, this love is a love that is foundational, which means this is the love that motivates, even if you are not, or even if an external source does not motivate. Now, of course, when I say external source, I'm speaking specifically about our neighbors, people, the people we interact with daily, and the things we interact with daily. Of course, we will find this week that this principle, this love that is a principle that God puts within us, is only put within us in response, yes, to something, but not someone else. Rather, it is a response to someone, capital S, for what he has done for us, you know. And so this, and we are told that is how we should love. We must love as Christ has loved, and that love was displayed in its beauty right there on the cross, where Christ shows us what self-sacrificing love is all about, by putting our interest above and before his own.
Now talking about self-sacrificing love, which would mean in some instances also suggest that love should hate, which you probably should then explain that to us if indeed love should hate. So does that equate to love being painful? If Jesus, even Jesus died, you know, a cruel death because of love. How do we understand this? How should we understand this?
Well, this kind of love that we are speaking about, this self-sacrificing love, this love that is a principle that is placed within us, which becomes the foundation of our character in the same way that it's the foundation of God's government. This love, first of all, it's always outward toward others. In fact, the opposite of love may not be hate. It may even include hatred in a way, because when you love God, you hate sin, for instance. So love is may include hatred. So hatred itself, biblically, is not really the opposite of love. But the opposite of love, when you get a sense of what the Bible, of how the Bible describes love, is actually selfishness. So selfishness focuses on self and inwardly. Whereas God's love is outward. It's always outward to something else. Now, we are to glorify God.
Mm.
That is why we were created according to Isaiah. And when that means our true satisfaction and true pleasure, heavenly pleasure, can only be experienced when we fulfill the reason and the purpose for which we are created. Now, if we are created, and we are created to glorify God, then we are, and God is love according to John in 1 John 4 verse 8, then we have been created to glorify love. Regardless of how naturally I may feel, right? It is about finding fulfillment, and we can only truly Christ in glorifying Him, because that's why He created us. There's no other reason that I know of that God created us but to glorify Him, which is to glorify love. And what I find is that when I am glorifying God, when I'm glorifying love by living the life that He wants us to live, then it surpasses any pain that I may actually feel. So love should not necessarily be painful. Because while self-sacrifice is a part of love, it does not mean that love should cause hurt or harm. True love seeks the well-being and happiness of others. And in my personal experience, when the focus is on the happiness of others, I now become happy. It doesn't matter at what cost it may have come.
Yeah.
If someone has now have the opportunity to be saved because of how God has worked through me, that brings fulfillment more than any pain that I may experience.
Yeah. Now, is it, as we close off the conversation, Pastor, for today, is it wise to advise to love one's enemies? I mean, is that not setting one up for heartaches and abuse?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. What does it mean to love your enemy? It means that it does not mean that I accept whatever the enemy does. It does not mean that I accept and am accepting of the attitudes of the person. Love is not based, agape is not based on how that person treats me. It is always seeking the good of that person. And there are times when it is better to just withdraw from someone, from your enemy, because you love them. You know, if I look at Christ, there are many times when Christ was, when his enemies came and tried to trick him and tried to hurt him physically as well, the Bible says he withdrew himself. Why did he do that? So that they don't end up hurting themselves even further by what they are doing to him. And in the same way, you know, Christ says that, yes, we will undergo persecution. But he's the one he's the one being persecuted when we are persecuted. When he spoke to Saul before he became Paul, he says, "It is I who you persecuteth." And at the time, Saul was persecuting Christians. So Christ says to us that when the way we should look at what happens to us is not that it's happening to me, but happening to him. And as we delve into this topic this week, we will find that when we look at love in that way, and when we look at what happens to us in that way, then whatever we experience if it does bring pain, if it does bring hardship or heartache, the joy that is set before us, the joy, the reward of future grace, the reward of seeing someone saved because you've had long suffering, you've practiced long suffering toward that person, the joy always supersedes whatever we may lose in the process.
Difficult one, I must say, not easy at all. I'm looking forward to having these discussions with you this week, Pastor, as we're going to be delving into some of the themes. But for today, I truly just want to say thank you so much, and please keep warm.
Lovely speaking to you again, and God bless to all our listeners as well.
Lovely. See you tomorrow, same time and same place.
Cheers, my man.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.